Today, I would like to start with asking some very fundamental questions. And you don't have to answer out loud, but answer within yourself. Is God good?
Yes.
Is God good when we have to wait? Is God good when the days can be dark? Is God good when he says no to your prayer? Is God good? And so we can ask some more questions in that same line of thinking. And I believe we can all say that when we say God is good, we all exclaim, yes, God is good. But when we say, is God good when he says no to our prayer? Do we still exclaim it with the same intensity? In words of the book of Job, is God good? We look at Jesus. Jesus said to God, God, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done. Was God good? And we can look back and we can say, yes, God was good. Because when God said no to Jesus, we would not be the same today. If Jesus has not died on the cross, if there would be no resurrection, then there would be no life, eternal life. When God said no to Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, God, I have a thorn in the flesh. Can you take it away? And we know the answer of God, twofold. Number one, it has been given to you so that you will not exalt yourself. And number two, my strength will be made known in your weakness. Brothers and sisters, renewal. Isn't that a beautiful word? When you think about renewal, you can think of the word refresh. You can think of the word rejuvenate. You can think of the word renovate or restore. We all like it, right? That old car, restoration, the old barn. But then we go a level deeper, because that old barn, even after it has been renovated, one day it becomes an old barn again. So what about you and me? What do we long for? When you look at your life, when you look inside yourself, is it not something that we often long for, some renewal? We long for change. We look back at what happened in our lives and we say, I wish that this would have gone differently, or I wish this would have gone differently. We all long for that change. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this in verse 16 through verse 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What a beautiful verse. What a beautiful concept. What a beautiful renewal, if I may use that word again. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And again, we ask the question, where do you want renewal? Some people like some renewal on the outside. We get older, we get some wrinkles, we get some other things. Our walking might not be as good anymore. Our seeing might not be as good anymore. But in the end, if we have a choice, would you rather be changed on the inside or would you rather be changed on the outside? And I believe we all say that we long so much for a change on the inside. The emotions, the past, the traumas, the disappointments, the hurts, the pains, etc., etc. And this is where God comes in. God says, you know, the outside, I say that with respect. I'm not really that concerned about the outside. The material, God says, I'm not so much interested in the material. Money, I'm not so much interested in the money. Career, I'm not so interested in the career. God is interested in the inner man. In the inner man. And that might be one of our challenges that we are facing ourselves. We are living in this world. We have those 2 feet that stand in this world. We have everything physical and even emotional and psychological that stands in this world. And that might be a challenge for each one of us. We might be sometimes way too much focused on this world, money, career, etc. It's all good in its own way, but never at the expense of godly principles. So God tells us even today, therefore do not lose heart. Put in your own name. Anton, do not lose heart. Hans and Hans, do not lose heart. Anybody, put in your own name. Do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And then he adds the light affliction. He calls it light affliction. A little bit hard to understand, right? We say, God, is this a light affliction? God says, well, actually it is. We say, God, are you sure that this is a light affliction? God says, I stand with you, but actually it is. That's the challenge that we are in. The mind, the renewal. Paul, you had a beautiful passage up there, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We can often quote it by heart. But to live it is the challenge that we are in today. That's the challenge that we are in today. The light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Do you catch these words? The light affliction is working something. The difficulties that we are in, the trials that we are in, the waiting that we are in, all those other things that we are in, the Bible says is working for us. It is doing something. I would like to say, number one, it focuses us on God. Because oftentimes we say, what can I really do about it? And it brings us back to God. God, I'm helpless. I cannot do it. How can it be done? I don't know. And what does it work in us? A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But then it also says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And then, of course, the fundamental question is, where are your eyes? Where are your eyes? That is what the passage says. The passage says, are your eyes on the material? Are your eyes on your career? Are your eyes on your money? Are your eyes on your pension? Are your eyes on the physical? Another challenge for us. And with respect, it's not always easy. But our eyes needs to be on the things that are not seen. And then all of a sudden, a lot of things start to fall into place. And guess what? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about your house. I know you need those things. I care for you. I have them under control. It's all right. Don't worry about it. It's beautiful. Isaiah chapter 40 has that beautiful passage. Another passage that we have often been quoted, often been read, often been thought about. But look at it again. Verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord. Or let me just go back to 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Think about Paul. God says, when you're weak, then I'm strong. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths fall, shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brothers, can I ask you a question? Brothers and sisters, can I ask that question myself? Do we believe this? We read it. Do we believe it? Waiting, of course, is not an easy one. Waiting is hard. Waiting is difficult. When I was younger, the youngest of 14, my brothers and sisters had cars, motorbikes, and my father said, no, you cannot. My father said, you had to wait until you're 16, until you're 18, then you can drive a car. Your brothers can, but you can't. And I simply could not understand. Why? And sometimes, of course, my dad would say, that's just the way it is. Sometimes he would say, it's too dangerous. But I still did not understand. I wanted it. I liked it. And of course, when we get older, we start to understand some things, right? Now we say, Daddy, thank you for saying no. Thank you that you let me wait, because it probably would have killed me. So waiting is not the easiest thing that we have in this life. Look at the book of Lamentations in chapter 3, verse 25. It says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. How beautiful. And again, we have a challenge. Are we going to focus ourselves on Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25? Or are we going to focus on, oh, tomorrow? My work is demanding this. My career is demanding this. What is our focus? It's a challenge. It's a challenge for each one of us. But God says it, and we know, we exclaim it. God cannot lie. We believe it, right? But somehow, somewhere, it gets lost. And we need to make sure we hold on to the promises of God. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. And again, we are challenged with that longing that is deep inside of us. Father, I'm hurting. Father, my prayer is not answered. Father, my marriage is in difficulties. And I don't know how. Father, I'm drowning. And when you look at the Psalms, the book of Psalms is using that kind of terminology. Father, I'm drowning. Father, I'm hurting. Father, I haven't slept all night. Words like that. What does God say? God says, wait. Just wait till I will act in your life. And where does that start? It starts with that beautiful five-letter word, faith. It's all about faith in God. There is a promise of renewal. Look at Isaiah 41, verse 8. One chapter. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. The next chapter. Fear not, for I am with you. I have chosen you. You are Abraham's seed. And we know that even today we are Abraham's seed. We read it this morning, Galatians chapter 3. We are Abraham's seed according to the promise. And today he says, Anton, fear not. He says, Yelmer, fear not. Everybody here this morning, everybody who is a part of this group, to every Christian in the whole world, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Challenge again. What do we believe? How do we let our lives to be lived? Do we live it by fear of what is tomorrow? Do we live it by our protection of our own physical lives? Or can we say, God, I leave it in your hands and I'll wait? And of course, waiting is not easy. It is something that goes against this world. It is something that goes against our nature. It is something that goes against everything. We have appointments this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, and everything. Waiting is not easy. But God says, fear not, for I am with you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't God good? It is so beautiful. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And let's listen to Paul's words. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To God be glory forever and ever. Amen. When you look at the context, you look at verse 16 or you look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Even going back to verse 9, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Only Luke is with me. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. At my first defense, verse 16, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Isn't that sometimes our story? We depend on people, and then they say, well, you know, I'm done. We rely on a job, and then our boss says, I'm sorry, but the money is not coming in. I have to let some people go. Doesn't it happen to us as well?
Yes.
It happens in marriages. Sometimes the one says to the other, I'm not so connected anymore. What do you do when the other one says, I'm not so connected anymore? What do you do? We have the same story, right? But listen again to verse 17. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Brothers and sisters, God says it's all right. God says it's okay. God says people might forsake you. It's okay. God says people did us harm. God says it's okay. People left us. God says it's okay. I stand with you. He stood with Paul. He strengthened Paul, he delivered Paul, and he would deliver him from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. God says, it's okay. I am with you. Just wait for me. That's the key of this morning's topic. Wait for me. When you say, I don't know, God says, wait for me. When you say it's hard, God says, wait for me. When you say it has been a night without sleep, God says, wait for me. God says, wait for me, and I will show you what I have in store for you. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 again and see what he says. In verse 21, when God wants to show himself who he is, he says in verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of this earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. What are we saying? Maybe the most important chapters in the Bible are just Genesis 1 and chapter 2. Just Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Because in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God tells us, I'm all-powerful, I have all wisdom, I have all knowledge, I know exactly what I'm doing. Maybe the two most important chapters in light of what we are talking about today is Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It always goes back to God's creation. A lot of things go back to God's creation and to God's creation order. I want to close and share with you a few words from Isaiah chapter 30. Look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. It's a little bit challenging. It's a little bit confrontational, I would like to say. I say it with a lot of respect, but look at what Isaiah chapter 30 says. And try to see how that connects to chapter 40 and the whole book of Isaiah. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who want to go down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, again, confrontational, but I say that with respect. I say it to myself. What is your source of wisdom? What is your source when you start reaching out, when you are in dire straits? We know what Israel did, right? They had their God. They had the forefathers. They had the stories. They knew exactly what happened in Egypt. They knew what happened in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. But what do? When the enemy comes upon them, the first thing they do is, Pharaoh, can you help us? Because we know that you are strong, fleshly strong. Turn to chapter 31. Verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have a challenge. I have a challenge. What do we do when the burden gets tough? What do we do when the night is without sleep? What do we do when the day is filled with tears? What do we do when God says no to something that we were so certain it would help us? What do we do? Can we wait? God says, when you wait, you will find the greatest pearl that you could ever find. I will bring renewal within you. I will deliver you. I will stand with you. I will guard you from every evil work. Brothers and sisters, that's the challenge. That is our challenge even today. Amen. Amen.